Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Tessie.
And I'm Leslie.
And on this podcast, we just really try to get to the heart of what makes the mama bear in us all come to life. I love that Leslie always uses the phrase rocket fuel for good. So on Mondays, we try to establish what our guests, what's really kind of poking their mama bear, what gets them riled up, and how they use that anger or that angst or that frustration as rocket fuel for good. And on Wednesdays, we talk about what pokes our mama bear, what we've been thinking about, what's going on in our communities or in our country or in our world. And we try to offer some ways for us to engage the mama bear as opposed to just being paralyzed by all of the feelings, right? And that's what we're going to do today. Obviously, today is not Wednesday, right?
No, Wednesday has come and gone. It is Thursday.
Yeah, we are recording this on Thursday. And as we said on our social media, Leslie, we actually had something prepared for Wednesday because, you know, we knew you guys were counting on us to, on some degree. And so we did have something planned, but about 1 a.m, we were like, nope, it's not enough.
So yeah, we had recorded something. We ended up titling it, which the title I think is still pretty relevant. It's was talking about politics and how we don't want politics to paralyze us, but instead propel us and our mama bear. And though I think the title was fitting, I think you're right. It was around 1 o'clock in the morning that we both were just like, you know, I don't feel comfortable putting this out into the world because we had recorded it before the election. I think we had some okay ideas, but it just didn't, like you said, it didn't feel like enough.
Yeah. And we were already getting responses from you guys, about some of the fears, the very real fears you had. And we felt a little bit like what we had taped was maybe being a little cavalier with those fears. It shocked us both. We can just say that. Like, we were shocked, you know? And so even though that we, when we recorded it, we're like, oh, we don't know who's going to win. I think the nation thought we knew who the winner was going to be. And so we definitely recorded it with that in mind. And so we just thought that it was going to be very obvious that we recorded it before the results, right?
Yeah. So I guess that's what we want to do today is record something with the actual results in mind, because that will just be much more relevant, don't you think? And so we're recording this on Thursday. As we said, it's November 10th. Yesterday, we just kind of took the day off. I mean, we chatted in the morning. And then
well, you chatted. I cried.
That is true.
I cried chatting.
That's true. And yeah, I just sort of hung on the line like, oh, wow. So I think we both just needed time to process. And admittedly, you know, I don't think any of our listeners will be shocked to know that we were grieving a little bit. We needed to focus on the ever important self-care that we talk so much about here. But I think today we woke up feeling energized to talk about what their mama bears can do when you find yourself feeling despair.
Yeah.
Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was another day. But Tessie, I woke up really early.
You did? I was so proud of you.
Ready to kind of move
through.
Forward.
Yeah, move through. Like on Facebook, you said, I tried to outrun it. I tried to outdo that. I tried to out-eat it personally myself yesterday. None of that worked. So we're trying to move through it today. That's the only way, right? Not around, but through. Yeah. And I just wanted to give a quick note too. We had a listener on Instagram who said she didn't want to hear about politics on our podcast. And we get it. We're all hearing about it from everywhere else, aren't we? So so we totally understand that. We aren't talking politics in terms of small government versus large government today. We're talking about the very real effects of this election cycle that we have heard from you, our listeners, right? This is feedback we've gotten. And so this podcast episode, it's not politics, it's personal. And though we clearly believe there are very real political implications to the things we're discussing today, we aren't even getting close to the merits of the Republican versus Democrat platforms. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about people, because that's really, you know, we can engage the mama bear there right now today. Mm-hmm. And even though we hope, like us, you're feeling more motivated than ever to get more involved in politics, specifically in 2 years when Senate and House seats become available, and in 4 years for the next presidential election, for now, we really just want to talk about the personal implications, or try to it. Should we do it?
Yeah, no, we really do. That's the goal here. So we're going to get a little bit vulnerable. So if maybe you're not ready to hear this yet, and that's okay. Maybe save this podcast experience for another day. But I'm going to trust this is a safe place to say some of the things that I've been processing, and I know you are too, Tessie. So let's get into it.
Leslie, I think we need to just start by being just really, really vulnerable with our own personal Leslie and Tessie's feelings mm-hmm. here. How did you feel on Tuesday when the numbers started to roll in? And how are you feeling now? Check in with me.
I was really, really surprised. I don't think I was truly emotionally prepared for the result of this election. So I think the first thing I was really feeling was just sort of this real sense of despair, and that the underlying racism and misogyny and hate and intolerance really came through. And I understand, I hear people say that regardless of their vote, these are not things that they tolerate or believe in, but there is this underlying kind of fear that you know, the votes that were cast for Donald Trump represented this in somehow. And again, I am hopefully flawed in this belief. But I think I lost a little innocence almost. Mm-hmm. I'm ever the optimist, you know, and felt a little bit of despair of what I feel like the votes represented. I mourned for church leaders and for Christians. My faith, as we've discussed on the podcast, is something that's so dear and so personal and so important to me. And I feel ashamed of some of the Christian leaders that were speaking out, you know, before the election and after the election, and excusing really bad behavior on what I personally felt to be pretty thin lines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I felt a little hopeless for women. I attended a service last night, just kind of a get together, how you feeling, let's drink a glass of wine, maybe light a candle, you know, mm-hmm. just a place to be together. And it was led by a white man. He is a friend. He is a dear, dear person, an amazing person with a true heart. I still had trouble with that. I think, you know, as a woman, I was feeling really vulnerable yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I feel concern about just, you know, healthcare. I feel concern about people who don't feel affirmed right now in our country. And so I guess that's the long and short of it.
I think that's mostly good.
Yeah. How about you?
I mean, yesterday was just like for abject despair. I don't think there is any other way to say that. And I mean, this isn't political discourse. I have family who I love very dearly who are conservative Republicans who believe in the platform of the Republican Party. And so, you know, even though I've seen from other people I love dearly who I respect and care about kind of demonizing people from who voted for Trump, I can't do that because I love too many people who did. And I know I see both sides, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. That did not stop me from feeling that abject despair. We're on Eastern time zone, so it was kind of a late night. I ended up falling asleep and then waking up as Trump won Pennsylvania. And I honestly, I couldn't stop shaking for 2 hours. Like, I tried to cuddle Zach because he's a heat source. And then I brought Hagrid, my little dog, in. You know, I just kept trying something. And I was looking on Twitter at the time because I felt shocked. I mean, I really, truly felt so shocked. And Black Twitter was not at all surprised by this. And it got me thinking, oh my gosh, the shock of this is my own white heterosexual privilege. You know, I had no idea. They all knew that in the quiet of the ballot box, like, the underbelly of white supremacy was going to come out. And I am like you. I'm so optimistic. I'm white and I'm heterosexual. And so I just, I had no idea that was going to happen. I really thought that the things that Trump actively said, so again, this is not about platform, this is about the things that he said and that he admitted to doing, were going to be enough to tell people, like, oh, even though we don't vote someone in office because they're 100% perfect, that it was going to be enough to show, like, oh, I can't alienate some of these people I love, right? And I was wrong. And so it was like so devastated. And you know, you kind of work through that, right? And I realized, like, I have felt victimized by this man as a woman. When I first heard the tapes of him talking about grabbing women by the pussy and things like that, I was re-traumatized by the many times I've been touched or felt up without my consent. And then, in case you're a new listener, you know, I have 3 Black sons. So on the national and international stage during one of the debates, he said that stop and frisk is good policing. And it sent shivers up my spine. I mean, these were the things that I was thinking about, why I couldn't stop shaking, right? And that's what was making me cry when I was talking to you, was just the implications in my own life about if he governs the way he said he's going to govern. All of this is a crapshoot. We have no idea. He didn't tell us his platform, so to speak. He just said words. But if he does govern that way, a lot of this is just, it's unfathomable. And, you know, and so it was just kind of, yeah, it just felt deeply personal. And yesterday was a time that I took to just feel raw about that. And eat my feelings. I ate so much yesterday and it was fine, but
you snapped me a picture of a really big breakfast.
I ate every single bit. There was pesto, and so I ran my finger along the plate and then licked it. That's how delicious it was. But I woke up today and I texted you knowing you were going to get up early so I wouldn't be waking you up, and I said, okay, I'm ready to engage. You know, I still have moments of despair, but I'm ready. And I was ready to record this. I knew you were ready to record this too, because I think that we have to find ways to turn that fire into productive rage.
Yes, 100% yes. And I think from that standpoint, the mama bears can have a moment here. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of mama bears who maybe weren't in touch with some of these things before Tuesday night are now realizing, like, oh wait, I really care about this, or right? This really angers me. So I think it's time for a mama bear moment. We know how we're feeling, so we've talked about that. So let's get into some of the comments that we heard from listeners. And I think probably the best way to organize this is just to break it down into a few segments and then offer some ideas on how we can engage the mama bear. Because she's ready.
She's ready.
She is ready.
Well, and again, you know, like our listener who commented on Instagram, if you were here and you are a Trump supporter, we've come up with some ways that our mama bear can be engaged, whether you were a Trump supporter or are devastated by the news. Mm-hmm. We can do both, right? There is room for all of us to engage, and we feel like we all should be engaged in slightly different but really important ways.
Okay, so let's get started. Let's start with sexual assault. Of all the things that we're talking about today, this one I feel is the one that people from all sides, so whether you voted for Trump or didn't vote for Trump, can identify as a thing. Mm-hmm. We all heard the tapes. We all listened to the same sound bites. We knew that women were deeply affected by this conversation. And we did, I want to point out, speak more about this in episode 67. So if you want to go a little deeper and check out a more nuanced conversation and discussion about that, please check back there. But for now, Tessie, what are you hearing?
One of our listeners wrote in and said that her sister, who had been sexually assaulted in high school, was having a really, really hard time yesterday. This woman is sober. She went in an emergency counseling session because she thought about drinking for the first time in 5 years. It quite literally re-traumatized her to have someone who admitted to sexual assault and spoke so cavalierly about it become president. We had another listener say that she was assaulted in college, didn't tell a single soul. She thought she had pushed it down into the depths of her soul until she heard these tapes from Trump, and it all came back. So, I mean, there are some really incredible think pieces from sexual assault victims and groups out there about what it means to have a president who has admitted to sexual assault, and honestly, who's going on trial for it in the coming weeks, become the president of our country.
Right. And again, this isn't political. These are personal stories. Right. So if you're out there thinking, yeah, but Clinton, I don't want to bring that up here. I can't do it. She's not the president. We're talking about who we elected as the next president of our country and really the ramifications in terms of sexual assault of that decision that we made as a nation. So I think we do need to stay focused. And Tessie, those are hard to hear, and I'm glad that you trusted us with this information and that they felt like we've created this safe space for their story to be shared. I think that the first step in engaging the mama bear in this is to really, really work hard to protect the hearts and the minds and the souls of our friends who are feeling this way. Mm-hmm. Check in with them. If you know a story, if you know a friend who is really struggling and hurting because of this, check in, you know, bring them something that will shine light, you know, on them, a warm light, mm-hmm. so that they can feel that they're loved, feel that, you know, maybe they can laugh again, help them get dressed, encourage counseling sessions. The takeaway, I think, from this is don't dismiss their feelings just because you've never experienced those same feelings.
Yeah, that's a big, big one, the not dismissing thing. I mean, that can be a theme carried throughout today's discussion, mm-hmm. probably. We received some great ideas from listeners about organizations that we can donate to that are taking really good care of sexual assault victims and survivors. I posted on Facebook even before the election that when I am feeling kind of out of control or despair or like the world's turned upside down, you know, whatever, that I like to donate to a good cause. It just makes me feel like I'm doing something, even if that something is a drop in the bucket, even if it's not working towards the thing that I'm feeling the most angst about, whatever. It doesn't matter because it settles my soul a bit. And so we first want to recommend, we're going to give a lot of options for various things today. They'll all be on our show notes. We want to first encourage you to research local options whenever you can, because you'll be able to engage more heavily there as a mama bear. And with regards to sexual assault specifically, there are certainly local organizations doing powerful work. So make sure you look into those. And if you have time, volunteer your time. And if you have money, give your money. If you have training like medical or therapy, then offer that too.
Absolutely. And we will. We'll link to some of those really great national organizations that we found in our research in the show notes. So make sure if you're wanting to do something on a national level that you take a look at those. And of course, if you work for or donate to one that we don't mention here on the show, please leave a comment and we'll invite our listeners to take a look as well. One more thing, and I think this is something that I just want to say and remind people again, is don't let anyone touch you or grab you in a way that you're not comfortable with. You know, this is something we can feel empowered by helping others and letting, you know, being a part of the healing of others. But we've got to draw a really hard line here as mama bears. And one response that we can have is to not allow that. And probably more aptly, because this is much easier for someone to assault you with. Don't let sexist comments roll by. It's time for mama bear to really speak up and put her foot down. Mm-hmm. I was just confronted in a business setting the other day where someone tried to laugh and joke and make me laugh at the expense of the women who work in a strip club. And, you know, he was kind of nudging me, kind of that boys will be boys and we're going to connect on this. And no, put your foot down. You hear these things way too often. It's time to draw that line and be done. So let's talk about race. I agree with you that there, as I said before, is some undeniability that sexual assault is a relevant conversation with our new president-elect, but there's certainly some deniability when it comes to race. And deny, I think some people do. But yesterday, I think there was story after story of racism, and you know, it was a window into its prevalence in this country. And but yesterday there was story after story of racism, the racism that is plentiful and prevalent in this country. Often it's in more subtle ways, but here we are where it's showing up in really public, really obvious, and really disturbing ways. Mm-hmm. There were reports from around the country of people of color being yelled at in the streets, the N-word being thrown around. There was a school in Minnesota who woke up to find that kids had gotten in overnight and vandalized the place with derogatory insults meant for people of color, for Muslims and immigrants. And you know, if you're not seeing these things in your neighborhood, I think a way that a mama bear can engage is to check your neighborhood. Do you live in a neighborhood where this is within the realm of possibility? Or do you spend the majority of your day with people who look like you and think exactly like you? So I think, you know, that's a big way we can check ourselves. And if you're hungry for a larger context, something really tangible that doesn't require you to pack up and perhaps move to a new and more diverse area, follow Sean King on Facebook. The internet can be a really terrible place in seasons like this, but it can also be a place to be informed.
Yeah. Yeah. And newsflash, if you are not hearing this, you live in white America, because I'm here to tell you, even in white America, where I currently reside, and I told you this story in between like my heaving sobs yesterday, so I'm not sure if you caught it all. So this might be news to you as well. But at my kids' middle school, a boy wearing Trump signs started yelling at kids of color, including my boys. Now that Trump's won, you all are going back to where you're from. And then a whole other group was yelling at some boys who are Hispanic, time to go home, build a wall, build a wall. You guys, this is terrorism, first of all. My kids were terror, like, they were full of terror. So this is terrorism, and it's real. You can deny it all you want, it doesn't make it go away. Denial does not, unfortunately, make it go away. And if you can look past these examples or dismiss them as like a small minority of people, or if you can look past our president-elect's racial overtones, then that's privilege because it doesn't directly affect you. So again, we say, first step, don't dismiss people who are saying that they are scared. They have every right to their fear. And based on thousands upon thousands of stories coming out since the election, it is very clear that the latent racism and bigotry that was very much alive before Trump has been emboldened. These are facts upon facts, people. So even though, like, this is a thing that is keeping me up at night and clearly making me cry and shake about, right? I still think we need to offer practical solutions for the Trump supporter and for the person not supporting or who didn't vote for Trump, right? So I think the first thing is to recognize that it's a thing and to not discount people's personal stories as not representative of anything. They aren't exceptions. As it stands right now, they are the rule, these things happening in every city, every town, every school, every state. And like you said, if you're not hearing it, then probably you live in an area and you surround yourself with people who look like you. But that, again, be real careful about not denying it just because it's not your reality. There's real danger in that.
Yeah, I think so. We also need to reach out to our friends of color, even if they're just kind of a random Facebook friend, ask them how they're honestly doing and really be a safe space for them to share their feelings without the qualification. Mm-hmm. And then we make a plan for action. So listeners gave us some great ideas of organizations. There are local chapters of Showing Up for Racial Justice. You might just need to search the acronym S-U-R-J. And there are also local chapters of the Black Lives Matter movement, and check out Boys and Girls Clubs of America. Also, there's local chapters you can get involved with.
Yeah. And depending on where you live, there's a decent chance there are even more places where you can go and show your support. And remember, we talked about this on our podcast, we've talked about this a number of times, but what white moms can do, 10 things white moms can do, we'll link that as well. But remember, if you're white, like, don't go to these groups or these rallies or these meetings in some sort of like savior complex, right? Mm-hmm. Position. Just go in there to let them know that they aren't alone and that they have a friend in you who's willing to listen, to learn, and then to engage. So Leslie, okay, we've talked sexual assault, we've talked racism. Let's maybe now move to immigration, specifically Mexican Hispanic immigration. I shared that example of my kids' middle school where kids were yelling, build a wall and go home and the like. This was not unique. We heard from so many listeners that their kids were seeing these same things happen in their schools. And I feel like this has no nuance either. I don't want to turn this into a policy discussion, and I know you don't either, because it's totally normal for people to feel multiple different ways about how we enact immigration reform. So I just want to make sure we stay focused. I'm mostly telling this to me because I know you're good about staying focused, and talk about the people being affected by the rhetoric surrounding immigration. You and I have children who are immigrants, right? And You told me that your boys had checked on Sintayu's immigration status, and my boys too had asked about theirs as well. Where I think our country has gone wrong as a whole, and this election specifically, is that they talk about immigration as policy so much so that they don't talk about the people that it affects. Does that make sense? Yeah. So when our president-elect says they're going to ban Muslim immigrants or get rid of all the illegal immigrants, whether or not this is actually possible, you're automatically alienating people, Muslim, Latino, Hispanic people. Mm-hmm. And the kids in my children's school are legal immigrants. They get to stay, period. And yet kids don't understand the difference. Most adults don't understand the nuance of immigration. So kids for sure don't. So as mama bears, we have to be really careful here.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And, you know, we're a country full of immigrants, and I'm not sure why we keep forgetting that. With the exception of Native Americans, really, like, none of us belong here. Can we laugh? Yeah. Like, was that sort of funny?
Right. I mean, but it's also true. It's also true.
So we need to acknowledge that reality. And, you know, I think, too, it's entirely possible that there will be people listening who voted for Trump because of his stance on immigration. Maybe you actually want a wall. Where I think that the mama bear can really be engaged is by researching immigration reform. I don't think a wall paid for by Mexico is going to happen. And so what do you want in regards to reform? We all can ask ourselves that question. Yep. What do we really want? How do we advocate for this in a way that doesn't alienate legal immigrants, mm-hmm. and in a way that doesn't make legal immigrants feel unsafe in our own country? And, you know, if you want less illegal immigration, okay, then how do you ask for it without encouraging your kids to yell, build a wall at all Hispanic and Latino kids? Mm. I think, you know, this, maybe I'm generalizing here, but it's a real difference, and it's a crucial difference. I believe really that one is essential in healing our country at this point.
Yeah, I do too. I absolutely do too. So for those of you who want immigration reform but are kind of appalled at Trump's approach, we've got healthy outlets for you too. Of course, there's always writing in to your local and state officials to make sure that they're being held accountable to you, their constituency. Make sure you're definitely doing that, right? Leslie, you and I also love World Relief. It's an incredible organization that helps refugees with everything from grocery shopping to filling out government paperwork. There are local chapters everywhere, and I can't stress enough how incredible that group of people at World Relief is.
For sure. And if World Relief isn't where you are, do some research and find out who is working with refugees. I think immigration in and of itself, guys, it is a beast. It is an overwhelming process. So it's part of what held up our process to adopt Sentayu all those years ago. I mean, we have lived it. Yeah. Adoptive parents, make sure that your kids have their certificate of citizenship. Yeah. It's essential. It takes a little time and money, but this is essential. And, you know, it takes a little time and money, but it is necessary. So reach out to us if you have questions. If you want to help immigrants with this crazy process, then the National Immigration Law Center does really great work, as do other organizations. So make sure, again, you check out show notes for those. Also, we had a great conversation with Cynthia Vanderpool Garcia, who is an immigration attorney in DC. It's on episode 23 of the podcast. So make sure you go back and listen to that too and hear what immigration law actually looks like, and not how it's shown so often in the media.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, there's that, right?
Right. I think that's good. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to our Muslim American brothers and sisters. I think certainly people kind of lump immigration and being Muslim together quite often, but clearly you and I believe that they do need to be kept separate.
Yeah, well, right. So right now we want to talk about what that rhetoric does to the people, what we're feeling now. Why we kind of had this moment of despair, right? Or continue to have these moments of despair. I have a friend who wears hijab, and yesterday her mom was begging her not to wear it because her mom was so afraid her daughter would be hurt physically or emotionally because of it. I actually considered having her on the podcast to talk about it at some point, but right now she's just all fear, and rightfully so. And she says she has been for a year or so. She was interesting. She was born in America. So let me say that again. She's American. She isn't even an immigrant, and yet she feels so ostracized. And according to her, the vitriol that has been shouted at her has exponentially increased since Trump came onto the political scene. I hope people are noticing that we aren't talking policy here. I'll just say really quickly that if we feel like we should be free in this country to be Christians, then we need to make sure we are making it free to worship any other God or none at all, or there will for sure come a day when we're not able to worship our kind of God, right? So history proves this. So I just wanted to make that quick note. Anywho.
Noted.
Anywho, back to my friend. So this is rhetoric we're talking about, right? This is where we think our mama bear needs to be engaged, because this is not okay. This is outright bigotry and Islamophobia. It's not okay no matter who you voted for.
Right. And if you hear this happening, then come alongside that person. Put your arm around them. Clap back at that person yelling if it feels right. You know, if you have a friend who is afraid to go anywhere, shopping, DMV, whatever, because of her hijab, then offer to give her a ride. Stand next to her. These are revolutionary acts of friendship. And they're perfect. They're a perfect way to engage the mama bear. I would also suggest reading up on Islam. Mm-hmm. Read the Quran. I know that my husband has done this. I haven't. But he is able to offer really great insight when we have political discussions. And especially if things get out of hand, you know. I think it's important that we just get to know other religions and other people before we try to comment on their lives. I hesitate in some ways to bring it up, but let's never forget that Christians have done some incredibly terrible things on behalf of their so-called religion. Death, terrorist attacks. We are guilty of this too, and it's convenient to forget that. And I'm not talking like thousands of years ago either. I'm talking this year, last year, at abortion clinics and in black churches. So I guess before we start to have this rhetoric as a nation of lumping together all Muslim people with jihadists or terrorists, we need to make sure that we're really comfortable with them doing that back at us as Christian people.
Right. And I think I can speak for both of us that we are not comfortable with them lumping Christian terrorists and murderers in the same category. Right. I think we can I speak on behalf of the both of us on that?
Yes, you may.
Yeah. So a listener sent us to the site of what seems like a really incredible organization called Council on American Islamic Relations. It looks like they have local chapters, so I'm excited to see if there's one near me personally, just to kind of see how I can offer some peace there. But other than that, Leslie, I just think our mama bears can do something as simple as bringing treats to a local mosque or visiting the mosque to see what that community needs from us to feel welcomed and loved. Remember, the people who commit terrorist attacks, be they Christian, Muslim, or what have you, they consistently come back. You know, we learn later on that these are people who feel ostracized in their community or in their country. So I think one of the things our mama bears absolutely need to do, again, Trump supporter or not, is make it so that we're not creating this kind of division that leads to the attacks, but instead build that bridge where there will be no room for terrorists of any ilk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And to our friends of the LGBTQ community, this does get a little into policy. It's impossible not to, I think. But Trump has said that he will elect Supreme Court justices who will overturn the same-sex marriage decision. Mm-hmm. Our vice president-elect in his home state of Indiana, which is quite close to you, especially, has defunded government programs for HIV-positive people and invested that money into conversion therapy programs for LGBTQ youth. And there is just no denying that a Trump presidency is scary for the rights of the LGBTQ community. If you voted for Trump, and if you believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman, I think there is still a way to engage your mama bear. Because if you listen to this podcast, then you are a decent human being who doesn't believe that people should openly be ridiculed. I really believe that. But we're going to need to be really vocal in protecting the physical lives of this community. The second highest rate of suicides and homicides are in our LGBTQ communities. second only to the transgendered communities. And you guys, it's just, it's not okay. So whether you believe in their rights to marry or not, I don't think you can call yourself a good and decent mama bear. I'm just going to say it. If you're okay with this rampant, really, rejection and suicide and homicide of an entire community, don't turn this off if you don't think this pertains to you, or if you don't agree. We do need you. We need the mama bears out there to shelter the lives of these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you said, no matter who you supported in the presidential election, we need everyone to fix these terrifying numbers of suicides and homicides, to be sure. Let's talk practical again. We had a listener reach out to us. He and his husband have adopted three babes from foster care, two of whom are kids of color. His son woke up crying on Wednesday, asking if they would be able to continue living together as a family, wondering if come January, the state will no longer recognize their union. This is a family in crisis, Leslie, because of the really awful things said about the LGBTQT community during this cycle. So again, step one, don't deny it. Just because Trump held up a rainbow flag upside down, mind you, doesn't mean that everything else he has said he will do in office doesn't terrify an entire community of Americans. So don't deny that that fear is real. Also, as a real quick aside, if you know one person who's gay and they're not terrified, they don't speak on behalf of the community. Okay, let's just be real clear about that as well. If you do have that friend, check on them. Any friends that you know that are in this community, make sure you're checking on them. Ask how they're doing. Maybe you can babysit for them so that they can have a night out to remember that their love is real and it's recognized by you.
Yeah, real and recognized. I love that. Just a quick Google search provided me with a good handful of organizations working in my small-ish city community. So I think that you, the listener, will be able to find the same. If you didn't vote for Trump and are finding yourselves really terrified of policy issues, then we've got to get bold here. If you've never called or written into your Senate or your House person's office, now is the time. Make sure that they know that you want the Supreme Court ruling to stand. Make sure your state still becomes a safe and legal place for everyone to enjoy the same rights that you have been granted as a heterosexual person.
Yeah, absolutely. We were able to find a couple good organizations that, again, we'll link to in our show notes, so make sure you check those out there, too. And Leslie, I was reading one of your Facebook posts that talked about kind of some of the things you were going through, and one of them was a fear of for our actual planet from this election. Climate change was essentially on the ballot, and it lost.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've elected someone who at least says he doesn't believe in science. Right. And then from that, I think the battle is uphill. It terrifies me. I think that maybe people will see this as political, but honestly, this feels really personal, and it feels like we're at a real crossroads. Our mama bear needs to act to protect the environment, and this quite literally is non-negotiable if you hope to have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids enjoy the same planet that you are currently enjoying.
Yeah. Leslie, I don't know how we engage with people who don't believe in climate change. Do you? Like, other than to love them and hope that their journey towards believing in science is swift?
I don't know. I'm not sure either. But being someone who does believe the actual scientists that have studied a lot and read lots of big books
for decades,
I do need some practical places to engage my mama bear, and so I'm ready with a list when you are.
Of course you are. Of course. Big fan of lists.
So of course the news out of North Dakota with the DAPL has been there for months. I think there are definitely things that we can do to support Native Americans' rights to their land and their clean water. Hello, this is a need. We need to start there. We also need to continue to do things that we're already doing, which, you know, the process of recycling and carpooling and composting and eating local and buying local. And, you know, as we've said before, stop buying so many things. I think these are all things that we can continue to do. Earth Justice is a great law organization that works to protect the environment. Next Gen Climate Action also has volunteer opportunities for people who want to do something politically to make sure that climate change continues to be a priority.
Yeah, those are really great tangible things to do. And I have to put in another plug for Cowspiracy, the documentary on Netflix. If you want to hear about how you as one person can really affect climate change, check that out, because it's going to make you realize that, yes, it is not good that our president-elect says he doesn't believe in climate change. But the reality is we can do a lot with our one life, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so I think we need to, and it's a good place to start. So Cowspiracy, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic.
Okay. Other than race and sexual assault, I think we also need to talk about just how womanhood in general has been affected this election season.
Yeah, I know that Hillary Clinton is not without flaw. I mean, none of us are, if we're being honest. But I was really crestfallen to know that we did not elect a female for president. Again, this is an emotional response, perhaps, but... I was crestfallen. I, of course, didn't vote on gender alone, but I felt such sadness to be so close and yet wake up and feel kind of still really far away from this sort of glass ceiling shattering equality. Mm-hmm. The fact that she won the popular vote is hugely hopeful, and I am really hoping that young women are motivated and that are moving forward with loud voices. So I think they are, and I think that we can further encourage our mama bear to fight for gender equality. We've talked about it a number of times, and again, I just quickly want to circle back to these previous episodes when we've talked about using our voices and elevating each other's voices, teaching our daughters to speak up, and also teaching our sons to make room for those female voices.
Yeah, we've made a really good list of organizations. A few of them actually seek out women to run in elections, mm-hmm. which I just think is awesome that there are organizations that are doing that, because I do. I think the more, you know, it was actually, like you said, she won the popular vote. Four women are now, it was funny, the headline said, like, we quadrupled our number of women in the Senate, and it's four. You know, I mean, it was just really, it was a funny one, but like, and we had the first Somali American woman to win. So it actually, like, in hindsight, when we look at the big picture, it was a big day. It was a big day for females, but I was so with you. I let Dayla fill in the bubble and I woke her up that morning and I was just like, Dayla, today is the day that the first female becomes president. So I totally know what you mean. There was just this like devastation that it didn't happen.
And you know, it's no secret, I don't think, probably what either of our ballots looked like, but I was the same way. You know, I didn't want to fill in just the bubble that cast my one party ticket. I wanted it meant a lot to fill in that individual bubble voting a woman for president. So, you know, there was a lot of expectation, a lot of hope, and I think it's okay that we feel disappointed. And it's, again, Mama Bear is primed and ready. We really can jump in and just revisit kind of that fervor and that passion for women's rights and teaching our daughters and sons to do better and be better.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you said, you made a point to say, like, Clinton isn't without flaw. Mm-hmm. We're not under the impression that that's true at all. We don't think any president going forward will be without flaw. Mm-hmm. We're not under the impression that we're going to be voting in a saint. And I think even if Ted Cruz had won, because he was obviously the last man standing against Donald Trump, our conversation here today would have been considerably different as well. what we're trying to get at today is that this podcast might have been completely different. It wouldn't have been talking about these issues had just a Republican, any other Republican won. But this Republican was saying a lot of really hurtful things that affect real American humans who have every right to be represented and loved in this country, right? Mm-hmm. But I think we need to talk a little bit about how we talk to someone that didn't vote the way you did, because we just both said we voted for Hillary Clinton. How can we talk to people who voted for Trump, or how can they talk to us mm-hmm. without being just total assholes?
Yeah, because there's a lot of hurt on both sides.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I just want to echo what you're saying. I think there was so much about this election that was really personal to many. I think so many of us struggled with this. And I'm struggling with this idea of interacting and continuing friendship with people that didn't vote the same way as me. I don't want to lose friends over this election. I don't think anyone wants to lose friends over this mm-hmm. election. I think, you know, I think if worse comes to worse, you know, you try to have these dialogues. You try your best to have productive conversations about why each of you voted the way that you did. And I think, you know, you see what happens, you engage, you see what happens. I think that, this requires some growth perhaps on, and some real maturity on your part, you know, like, is your house clean enough to actually listen? Like, have you figured out what's going on inside of you? Why, you know, what is it about your reaction to this election that is so, so strong? Do that stuff first. Process those things. Mm-hmm. And really, let's try to listen to each other. But then I think, and ultimately, you have to decide for yourself what your line is mm-hmm. as you pursue relationships and try to mend broken relationships. I think that that certainly the goal is to be able to remain friends and be probably a part of a stronger friendship because of it.
Well, you and I are huge advocates of diversifying our friend base. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be friends with people who look and who think just exactly like us. We think that's a really dangerous thing to do mm-hmm. as people, actually, because then you neglect anyone else's story. But at the same time, is it worth trying to mend an old, like, friend in high school who you haven't really talked to but keep, you know, fighting over mm-hmm. over the election? No, that's not worth your time. We're trying to engage your mama bear for the things we talked about. Don't engage your mama bear in that way. Engage your mama bear for the family and the friends who are deep, close, personal people who voted for Trump. Engage that way in a respectful conversation. I love how you said, make sure you're healed somewhat first. This is not something to do when you would only talk out of fear and despair. This is something to do after you've healed in some way or another. But you guys, we can, of course, be friends and family members with someone else who's voted for someone we didn't agree with. This can happen, and it should happen, you guys. It should absolutely happen. And it's so important to maybe discount some of the rhetoric of that person, but never discount the person.
Yeah, again, that circles back to the idea that this is personal. This isn't just mm-hmm. politics. This is personal. I keep hearing, and I even say this to myself and others, you know, let's bake a pie or make a pot of soup for your neighbor or your friend who you are struggling with in this election. And part of me thinks it sounds really corny. Part of me thinks it sounds exactly like something I would try to do.
yes, it does.
But I was thinking about that and just how the process of that. I think the process of baking a pie or the process of making a cup of soup, when you can concentrate on where you are at, you can concentrate on the love that you have for this person. And then, you know, whether or not you end up delivering that, but you might not, you might have to bake seven pies before you can get to the point. But that point will come. That day will mm-hmm. come. As long as we, I think, allow our mama bears to be awake, allow for that self-care and that healing to happen. I feel despair. I feel devastated, but I'm starting to feel some hope too. I think this, like I said before, can be such an incredible moment of healing and mm-hmm. Activism for our whole yeah. nation.
Yeah. Yeah. Activism. I mean, that's the thing is you guys, you can complain about what happened, but if your complaint leads to complacency and not activism, then we've got a real problem on our hands.
So Tessie, let's dig in there a little bit more. Do you want to leave our readers with a dare?
Yeah, let's do it. Mama Bears, we don't just vote once every 4 years or every 2 years. We vote every day. Every time we use our dollar, which is currently what policy is driven by, or our voice, or our time, we are voting and implementing the changes we want to see. If you are truly devastated at the results of Tuesday, then we dare you to do something about it. Don't allow it to paralyze you, because then you do your words and your values a disservice and you make them empty. The truth is, very little gets done on the political landscape in 4 years. Of course, this says nothing of what rhetoric can do in personal lives in 4 years, speaking policy only. But so much can get done with our boots on the ground and our mama bears engaged in 4 years. I don't think this election needs to divide us, but the only way it unites us is if the people who voted for Trump start outwardly condemning those acts of racism, sexism, bigotry, Islamophobia, and just outright repulsive behavior. The only way this works is if we stop denying this election season has brought to light the darkest parts of our country and of our humanity, and start acknowledging that we have so much work to do if we truly want to be the country the rest of the world looks to as the epitome of freedom. If you voted for Trump, we dare you to start doing this. In your circles, on your social media, start outwardly condemning these things instead of explaining them as an outlying event. Work hard to be a peacemaker and prove that the man you voted for will make America great for all people and not just the people who look like you. This is a big dare, but it is so essential. This is not the time for you to tell people that they need to start coming together in unity. This is the time for you to start working for the unity that you desire, that we all desire. This is also how you will signal to the people who are devastated with the results that you want to actually work together rather than just have those people come to you because Donald Trump won. There's quite a bit of difference there. And we believe each mama should dare to do it. So for those of you who did not support Trump and who are still in a season of grief, we dare you to use your rocket fuel for good. Take the time you need to despair and to reflect, and then we dare you to move to action. There is nothing that can stop a woman who is fully alive and fully engaged. Rally your friends who are equally upset, rally your neighbors, and use your voices to start the revolution you were hoping to start with a different presidential candidate. Though our leaders can rally troops in bigger numbers, we the people are capable of rallying troops with bigger hearts. And as mama bears, this is our calling. Find ways to get involved in your communities and in our nation. Start small, call your friends who feel victimized, and then make your movements bigger and call your senators and House representatives. We dare you to not waste your time damning the people who voted for Trump, but instead on making sure you do all you can to ensure everyone has access to our inalienable rights. If the next 4 years scares the shit out of you, then use that time wisely to activate groups of people who will vote in a different way in 4 years. We can do this, you guys. Apathy is a cancer to our democracy and to our inner mama bears. Today, we dare all of us, no matter who you voted for, to stop giving lip service to healing a nation and start doing the work of the mama bear. May she be loud, may she be lumbering, may she be loving, and may she inspire others to do the same. Let's just uncomfortably laugh and get a little teary.
I know. Oh, you guys, the time is now. Thank you for being a place where we could come and sort out our thoughts and share them with you. Check out our show notes. We promised you so many links, and you will find them there. In the meantime, what? I don't know. I don't know what happens.
Meet us back on social media. This is where we got this stuff, right? You guys were telling us about how you're feeling. We love our community, do we not?
Abso-freaking-lutely. No, we do. And we, again, thank you. Thanks for letting us take our time to process this. And we truly hope that though you may not have agreed with everything that we said, we hope that you feel a little bit of that mama bear ready to lumber forward in your community. So,
yeah, I love it. Good job, sister.
Good job.
Clips out.
Come back Monday where we will not be talking about the election.
There we go. There it is.